Gospel according to John, chapter 6. And if we can read the words that we have from verse 15. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and at verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. We wish to take as our text this morning the words that we have in verse 20, John chapter 6, and at verse 20. And he said, and he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. We have been considering over the last number of Sabbath mornings, we have thought on what it is to be a Christian. We have gone through a number of areas such as conviction of sin, repentance, and over the last 2 weeks we have considered the aspect of faith. We saw, first of all, what faith is. We saw faith that is not saving faith. We witnessed that there is a faith that is justifying and saving faith. And we considered what that saving faith is. But now, last Sabbath morning, we considered something of faith that was doubting. We considered the experience of Thomas when he was absent in the upper room, when he was not there because, most likely, of a morose, looking to the dark side all the time, never seeing that which he had reason to rejoice in. We saw how previously it was Thomas who had said, when Christ would go to Lazarus, we will go with him and we will die with him. We saw how it was that when the Lord said he would depart from him, then he says, whither are you going? We know not the way. How can we know that way? And so on. We saw something of faith doubting. Today we want to look once again at faith, and this time to be looking at faith in terms of faith being tried. We are told that if we have faith, then that faith will be tried. The faith of the Lord's people is a faith that the Lord himself will try and will put to the test. In the experience of the disciples on the sea, there is here faith being put to the test. And what happens to these disciples who were genuine disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who were those who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we will go on to see, were in the place where Christ had commanded them to be, yet when they were there, we find that they were brought into a great storm. And that storm brought a test before them. And we see it was only when the Lord Jesus Christ himself walked upon the water and came to them, that they were able to have peace. At the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he says, Peace, it is I, be not afraid. And it is then they willingly received him into the ship. Let us see though that this whole account is a sequel. It is a sequel to what has gone on before. The Lord Jesus Christ had fed the 5,000. What a wonderful miracle it is to see the disciples going with the fish and the bread and continually coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ for more. And never does the Lord Jesus Christ let them down. Every time they come back to the Lord, He once again blesses them with more bread and with more fish. So that from the small amount of fish that was brought into His presence by this young person, yet He fed 5,000, over more than 5,000 that were there. And in this, we see the glorious divine power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the divine power that issues forth from His person. Here is a confirmation that in the midst of the multitude that were there was one who is not only God, but He is the God-man. He is not only bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, but He is also the very Son of God. How strange that, as we said a few weeks ago, when He came into the pool, when He came to that pool with that man lying beside it, we are told there's a great multitude there. And they sat at the pool, and the pool and did nothing for them. They waited for the pool to move. Yet they're sitting there. That man who was there, lame and halt, couldn't get there in time. It was a picture of what the Jewish religion at that time could do for them. Nothing. It was only when the Lord Jesus Christ Himself came to that pool and He spoke to one man, and it was by the very power of His word. Wilt thou be made whole? And even then the man didn't say yes. He just said, how can I be made whole? Every time I go to this pool, someone else is there before me. That's the way every religion is today. Multitudes sitting at the pool, and there's nothing there that will do them any good. Impotent, blind, deaf, halt, withered, spiritually dead. And the religions of the day can do nothing for them. Until the Lord Jesus Christ came there, they didn't even know who He was. And so it is that when the Lord Jesus Christ performed this wonderful miracle of providing for the 5,000 from these few loaves and bread, what happened? We are told that they sought Him. This is why the disciples end up in the storm. We are told that the multitude, we are told in verse 1, Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king. They would make Him a king. They perceived first of all that He was a prophet. He was a teacher. And now they perceive that He is a king. Verse 14. When those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is of truth that prophet that should come into the world. They're referring back there to Deuteronomy. When Moses says, the Lord our God will raise one up, a prophet like unto me. He will raise one up just like me. And you listen to him. And the multitude, when they saw what the Lord did, they said, this of a truth is that prophet. What a wonderful thing that they were able to see, even in the Old Testament, that here is the one that God, this is of truth, that prophet that should come into the world. They recognized Him as a prophet. Nicodemus recognized Him as a teacher. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, he said. But with Nicodemus, as we've already seen, even though he knew he was a teacher, there was one thing missing. The Lord Jesus doesn't say to him, yes, Nicodemus, I'm a teacher. He says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Ye must be born again. The multitude here, they saw that he was a prophet. This is that prophet that should come into the world. But then they would make him a king. And when Jesus perceived that they would make him a king, he departed from them. They would take him by force. He departed again unto a mountain himself alone. What's being shown here? There are one or two things. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. They would take him by force and make him a king. Little do they know that the Lord Jesus Christ is already a king. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and mild, sitting upon the ass and upon the foal of the ass. This is one that they do not need to make a king. The Lord Jesus Christ is already a king. And he takes upon him in his humiliation. He takes upon him the form of a servant. But here is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And he comes to this multitude and they would take him by force. And not only is he a king, but as he comes into this world to establish and to claim his kingdom, to redeem his kingdom, he will not do it in the means that they would expect him to do. They thought that they would take him by force, they would make him a king, and they would establish him as a king over a kingdom, and the Lord Jesus Christ will not have that. In order that he will receive his kingdom, he must go by the way of the cross. Before he will receive the glory, he must first of all go by the way of suffering. He must go to Calvary and there suffer and die in the room instead of sinners. He enters Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. What type of teacher and what type of king do you see the Lord Jesus Christ today? Although they saw a wonderful demonstration of the divine power of Almighty God in the feeding of the 5,000, they saw witnessed before their eyes in that marvelous work that took place there, that here is the very Son of God. They thought they would make him a prophet. They thought him a prophet. And they thought him a king. But Jesus teaches us there's one thing that's missing with them. He goes away himself unto a mountain alone. What for? To pray. And as he prays, what office is he fulfilling? A priest. They think him a prophet and they think him a king. But they forget altogether that they need him also as a priest. As one who would offer up a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. Oh, there are many in our own day and generation. They will say many nice things about the Lord Jesus Christ. They will say, just as that multitude there said, that he's a prophet. They would even take him by force to try and make him a king. But they forget that they need a saviour. They need a high priest. And here is a glorious high priest who has offered up himself a ransom, a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. He goes away and departs unto a mountain by himself. What humility. What humility. How many of us today, when we would be told to take the high place, to take the low place, we want the high place. How many of us today would want the exalted place? Oh, a wonderful example of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, you take the low place. Because when they would have made him a king, he departed from them and went up into a mountain alone, on his own. But now we see the disciples. the disciples enter into a ship. And why do they enter into the ship? Well, Matthew's Gospel tells us it's because the Lord Jesus Christ commanded them. The Lord said to these disciples, go out and go over into the other side. And there I will meet with you. Matthew's Gospel. And it is while they are out in that very sea, as they set out for the other side, that the storm arises. That they're brought into difficulty. And a great trial of their faith comes their way. It is while they are in the very place of duty, the place that the Lord Jesus Christ commands them to be, that they discover there is a trial and there is a storm and there's darkness. We are told that they entered into the ship and it was now dark. And Jesus was not come to them, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. They were, and is that not giving to us even a picture of the Church of Christ in this present world? The Church out in this world, we are told this world itself is but a dark place. We are told that this place, that the world that lieth in wickedness. That the church, as she goes through this world, she is as in a wilderness journey. And she is in the midst of that which is a crooked and even perverse. We have even a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And as they were out in this dark place, a storm arose. A storm took hold of the ship. What a test. What a test that is now given to these disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ not yet come to them, and a storm arises. And there in the very midst of that storm and in the darkness. And where is the Lord Jesus Christ? He waits. And that storm gets worse and it gets worse, and it comes to the point where they are rowing and they are rowing in the midst of the darkness and in the midst of the storm. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ waits. He waits, and he doesn't come. And you ask yourself, why is it that the Lord does not come? Isaiah chapter 30. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Why is the Lord waiting? That he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. How, when the Lord's people are brought into trial and tribulation, how when the Lord's people are brought into a tempest in a darkness in this world, how they ought to go back to the prophet Isaiah. What is happening as the Lord waits? First of all, it is a test for these disciples. These disciples that may perhaps think themselves better. That when the Lord Jesus Christ goes by the way of Calvary, I'll go there too. But how they had to learn what was in the heart. How we today, as we are brought through trial and tribulation, whatever it may be, whatever trial or tribulation you may have in your life, whatever providence the Lord may bring your way, how we need to learn what's inside. Thomas had to learn what was inside. Peter had to learn what was inside when he says, I will die with you. Providence came his way that he had to be humbled until he sat on that shore when he says, Thou knowest all things, because thou art the Lord. But not only does the Lord bring trial and tribulation and storm in the way that they would test what's in the heart, but also that we would exercise grace. That we would exercise grace in the midst of trial and tribulation. And not only that, but we would be brought even to an end of ourselves. While the Lord waits, and in His providence He brings us through the storm of darkness and the storm on the sea, and yet the Lord waits and He waits and He waits. And we wonder, is the Lord Himself, has He forgotten to be gracious? We forget that He is waiting to be gracious. But that He has a purpose in it all. Remember how in Psalm 107 we are given a picture of something of that in verse 27. They reel and stagger like one drunk, at their wit's end they be. Then they to God in trouble cry, who them from straits doth free. They're at their wit's end. The disciples here, in the midst of their trial, in the midst of the storm, there is a test to which they are put. A test of faith. Will they exercise grace? And yes, they will even be brought to their wit's end, until they cry out unto the Lord. You know, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of this dark world, we may look to ourselves within. And if we look to ourselves within, we will be disheartened. When we look without, and that around about us, we will be discouraged. But when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, how it is that He will encourage us, how in the very midst of the storm, we remember where the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's praying. He's on the mount alone, and He's praying. He is interceding. Oh, how wonderful even today, that the Church of Christ in the midst of an evil and dark world. And we may even feel at times like we are like the disciples in the midst of this boat. With a storm around us and darkness in this world. Remember this for our encouragement. Though the Lord waits, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying and interceding and upholding His own beloved people. He is the one who is ever present and who knows. But not only does He wait in order to test the faith of these disciples, not only does He wait that He would test our faith and that we would exercise grace, but He waits that when His hand and when He comes, it will be more evident. And the deliverance that He gives will be all the more evident and glorious. We've been reading through Exodus, the Old Testament, how it is that even when God brought the darkness over Egypt, Israel had light. Why was it that God did not say to the Israelites, the Egyptians are in darkness, pack your bags, get your stuff together and go? The Lord didn't do that. Once again, Moses was to come to Pharaoh, telling Pharaoh of his own responsibility before God, let my people go. But you think what the deliverance of the Lord's people was like then, when out of Egypt God, by a mighty hand, delivered them through the Red Sea. I will be glorified. I'll even be glorified in the storm and in the darkness that I bring the way of my people, of these disciples in the midst of this boat. I will be glorified in my delivering them. And even though I wait long, and I am waiting, but I am waiting that I will be gracious. And that when I am gracious, when you see the deliverance of the Lord, then it will be all the more evident to you. And not only that, all the more appreciated. Had the Lord come earlier, even if it had been left to the disciples, maybe the disciples who were here in the midst of this storm, the Lord is going to test what's in there. Had he come earlier, all would have been appreciated. But it's not half as appreciated as these disciples rowing and rowing and rowing, getting nowhere. 25 or 30 furlongs, the rowing and the rowing. How appreciated it must have been when the Lord Jesus Christ is seen and comes into the boat. How much more appreciated would these words be? It is I. Be not afraid. It's I. But I want you to notice how it is that even in the midst of all this, and for our encouragement, for the encouragement of the Lord's people, that when we are brought through great times of darkness and for the wind and the sea blow and the tempest in this world, these disciples didn't give up rowing. They continued to row and to row and to row. To keep on rowing. Remember how in Hebrews chapter 11 we have examples of faith. Great examples of faith. They were sawn asunder. They had cruel trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. And through that chapter 11, it's all about faith. When we come into chapter 12, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Patience, hope. Patience that will stir up hope. Hope that will encourage patience. And faith that is born out of it all. They were rowing in the midst of all. And yet look at how little their faith was. That even when they see the Lord Jesus Christ approaching, they were afraid. Now you might think to yourself, they were afraid because they'd never seen this before. They hadn't seen someone walking on the sea before. Or because it was dark, the darkness of the night. They were afraid of that. But I think it's Mark's gospel that tells us and indicates to us that they were afraid because of the hardness of their heart. Unbelief. It's unbelief that brings them into being afraid and being fearful. Mark's gospel, chapter 6. verse 52. And we are told in the same account, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." They had seen the mighty works of the Lord Jesus Christ before, not long before, just earlier that day, the previous day. They had seen a mighty work of a miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And here they are within hours. Their heart is hardened in unbelief. Perhaps you forget the mercies of the Lord. Perhaps you're just like these, and I'm just like these disciples in this boat. That too often our heart is gripped with unbelief, and we forget the mercy and the goodness that God has manifested to us day by day, week by week, month by month. Oh, it shows to us how fickle even the heart of the disciples was in this situation. But look at the wonderful deliverance that the Lord gives. What power the Lord Jesus Christ exercises even over the wind and the sea. That the Lord Jesus Christ will stand over that sea and he will say, "Peace be still." And even the wind and the sea obey his voice. And you can almost imagine that when the Lord comes at this time, how most appropriate time it is for these disciples. Coming to the end, their wits' end. Staggering, still rowing as it was their duty to do. It wasn't their duty to sit back and do nothing. It was their duty to be at the oar rowing. But when they did see the Lord, it's as though they weren't expecting. When they did see him, they were afraid. And it was only the words of our Lord. Think of how justified the Lord Jesus Christ would be in departing from that boat altogether, leaving them to themselves. How gracious the Lord is in dealing with his own beloved people. How long-suffering he is. He comes to them and they're even afraid when they see him walking on the water. When they see once again an evidence of his divine person. When they see that here is the one who is born in a stable of a low family, yet he is Lord of all. But they see not only the power that the Lord Jesus has over the winds and the sea. They witness the power that his heart, his words have over their own heart. What is it that calmed the heart of these afraid disciples? The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Be not afraid. It is I." And they received him into the boat. Oh, that we would hear the voice, the almighty power and voice, and the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that stills not only the sea, but brings peace to the troubled heart. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Two things that we may learn from this. What trouble unbelief brought to the door of these disciples. What trouble and fear it brought upon them when they began to look at themselves. And when they began to look at the outward providence rather than looking to him who is the Lord of that providence. What trouble unbelief brought to them when in the midst of that boat, even when the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon the top of the water,
They took their eyes away in the hardness of their heart. It brings fear and anguish of soul. There is an encouragement here to every single believer that is brought into trouble, into trial, into storm in his own experience, that the Lord will bring in his providence, bringing it his way. There is an encouragement here. The Lord Jesus, even though it's dark, he sees the very midst of the darkness, and he comes to his own people with soothing words at the most appropriate time. Look to him. And secondly, look at how merciful the Lord is to even the weakest of believers. Even his own beloved people hardened in their heart in this boat. Yet the Lord is gracious to them. It is I, it's nobody else. It's Jesus. Be not afraid. You would almost hear the echoes, be not afraid, but be believing. Believe it's me. Love casteth out fear. You love me. Who is it that you love? It's the one that has kept you. Because I have been on that mountain. I have prayed for you. Now, he says, be not afraid. Believe in him. How today the Lord's people need to have their eyes fixed on him, the only Saviour and the only comfort in the midst of a dark and evil world.